Okay? The daily briefing from this site, Israel News. Gaza's 1,000 Christians need urgent prayers, aid, and a safe haven lest they face genocide by Hamas. A guy by the name of Bahrani Crown Prince becomes first Arab leader to personally unequivocally condemn Hamas' October 7th slaughter as barbaric and horrific. And there's an interview with a Jewish believer serving in the IDF, Special Yeholim Combat Elite Unit. Israel continues active defense policy on northern border, fighting on two fronts. Netanyahu defends Israel's humanitarian aid to Gaza amid criticism. Day 44, IDF tightens control over northern Gaza Strip. Saifa hospital mostly evacuated. And Netanyahu says Gaza cannot be handed over to Palestinian Authority control. Anyway, my thing is, God's got it under control all through the history, and this is no exception. Nothing, not the most minor thing, will not happen to interfere with his ultimate goal and objective with regard to each individual, with regard to Israel, and there are ongoing trials and tribulations because this is a big red flag in the angelic conflict. The Jews are back in the land. This time, under the second restoration, they're there to stay. So Israel, the sign of the rapture generation, the preeminent sign, the disciples asked for a sign. Because you have to understand the mindset of the disciples at this point. They're not clear on some things, say the least. They believe Jesus is the Messiah. They believe he's going to set up a kingdom, but they think it's going to happen real soon. They want it now. So, in other words, the cross, don't talk to us about that. That we don't want to hear that. That was their mindset, but they were believers. That's why when it happened, they all fell apart, ran into hiding. And yet, he gave them a complete heads up regarding what's going to happen to him. Crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection. Now, what do you not understand about that? But they didn't want it. See, it's always this case. I don't want that. I want... Well, you're not the determiner of truth. You just go with it. Study it out, get it fixed in your head, and go with it. So they ask for us. They ask for what is the sign of your coming in the end of the age, which they're thinking is real soon, just within their lifetime. Jesus is going to do it any minute now. He's got the power. Yeah, he has the power, but this isn't the time. The first advent wasn't the time. Can't just so he gives general things that will be happening in the time frame between then and the end, so to speak, his coming. There'll be false Christs, and they will mislead many. There's that kind of people out there that jump on these bandwagons and go with it. Look at them out in the streets now with a Palestinian. The Americans just, you got nothing better to do? Apparently not. you'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. Hot wars and, well, there could be a war between blah, blah, and blah, blah. We hear this in the news all the time. And then it's just a rumor. See that you're not frightened. We are not to be afraid of what's going on in the world around us. What's going to happen is going to happen. And a lot of it is very unpleasant stuff. But we are not to be afraid. For these things must take place, but it is not the end yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. This is the whole course of the church age, wars. You see it all the way through. Of course, we had the two big ones, War One and Two. Now the talk about what happens when we have, there's going to be a nuclear war. Well, there's not going to be a nuclear war that would interfere with God's plan between the United States and whoever. Kingdom against kingdom, in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. I hear them all daily in the news. Philippines got hit. They're all around. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains, using the analogy to a pregnant woman who goes through the cycle and she has periods where she has some severe, sharp birth pains before the final event. Then they will deliver you to tribulation. This skips up to the Jews who become Christians in Israel after the rapture. They will deliver you up to tribulation. You're going to go through persecution. This is in the first half. And will kill you. Some of you are going to be martyrs. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Christian Jews, believing Jews. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. They'll just come out of the woodwork. Because lawlessness is increased. There is obviously a very high level of lawlessness in America. Very high level. It's ruining cities. It's in high places. Lawlessness. And when you have lawlessness and people running amok and doing all this evil stuff, then one of the bad side effects it can have on believers is that most people's love will grow cold. Well, they're doing all this, so what do I have to? So you got to judge yourself that you don't lose your zeal. But the one who endures to the end will be delivered. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world by different agents. The angel, 144,000, that's the second half. Moses and Elijah and whoever else steps up to the plate and begins to proclaim the gospel in the nations. The nations will be evangelized. You can't say they didn't get a chance to hear it. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. There'll be in this period, and individuals will have a chance to get saved so they can enter into the millennial kingdom. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, who's you? It's the same Jews I said before that are in Israel and become believers. In the first half, they've got a queue. They got a safe haven to run to. People are always talking about, well, where can I go and be safe? Get in the will of God and you'll be all right. You don't have to go anywhere. When you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, that is the AI technology, the artificial intelligence that they will set up in the most holy place of the yet-to-be-built tribulational temple. That temple will only be in place for 7 years, and then it's going to be ripped down. He's called the abomination of desolation. Now, a place can become desolate as a result of a tornado, a fire, desolate. But this isn't a physical desolation. It is his image. See, for the first half of the tribulation, the Jews will reenact and redo all the ancient sacrifices in the temple. All of them. Every one of them. They'll be up and running. But they're going to make a treaty with the Antichrist, and he says, I'm the Christ, and the political authorities have the force. We'll do this. Declare him Messiah in exchange for him protecting them from all their other enemies. I think I just printed off on Alexander the Great, new discovery. They discovered a temple in Iraq, built over an ancient temple. It goes clear the heck back. It's a Greek temple. And in it, you know, they're saying that Alexander considered himself one of the sons of the chief deity of the Greeks, Zeus. He and Hercules and another one, a name I didn't recognize, which I suspect could be Nimrod. But anyway, he considered himself a divine person. He says, but this is where he died at age 32. I kept saying 33. Okay, well, I'm off one. 32, age 32, he died. And as outlandish as it sounds, an ordinary human being isn't going to be the Antichrist. It's going to have to be somebody spectacular that God puts all this in his brain. He doesn't put evil in his brain. That's his duty. He's going to put all this knowledge, technical knowledge, where people are, names, places, history, all the stuff that somebody that died back in 333 BC couldn't possibly know if they were brought back. They'd be looking around, what's that? But he'll know it just like you and I know it, and better. He'll know names, places, everybody. Who put his organization together, bam, bam, bam. And the world will just flip out over him. They'll flip out because he will have DNA proof that he's Alexander the Great, revisited. That sounds so outlandish, doesn't it? But you read the simple reading, he comes up out of the abyss. He's one of the five heads on this red beast with five necks and seven necks and seven heads. Five have fallen, Egypt through Greece. One is Rome, and one is yet to come with the ten horns on it. That's the revived Roman Empire. Rome will be revived in a modern sense, made up of 10 nations in Europe. And I suppose it's all the ones we would expect, you know, like Germany and France and Spain and Italy and, of course, Greece and whatever others, Poland probably, I don't know. Not England. Not England. He is the abomination of desolation. He'll make desolate the most holy place. They'll put his AI, artificial intelligence. You can read about it in Revelation 13, more detail. This technology is new, but it's really being fast-tracked. I can only imagine the evil they're going to try to do with that stuff, artificial intelligence. But anyway, standing in the holy place, what does it do? Well, read Revelation 13. Now I say, when you see this thing set up, Christian believing Jews, this is what you do. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Mountains. Well, the first set of mountains you could flee to is Petra, the ancient rock fortress of the Edomites, south down there. All that red rock, they got pillars where they carved it all out. They lived in there. They lived out there. That was the center of Esau's kingdom, the Edomites. Edom means in the Hebrew red, as in the color. Who whoever is on the housetop. Can you follow instructions? Your window of opportunity here, believing Jews, is very narrow. I'm thinking that they got to go to a launch point where they assemble and they're able to have this small area, an opportunity to make way here. Whoever is on the housetop, go to Israel, what do you got? Flat roofs everywhere. So people lived up on their housetop. Must not go down to get the things that are in his house. Well, let's go pack some bags. I'm going to need this and this and this. Oh, I can do it. I'll be real quick. Well, I'd read this ahead of time and have a bag packed already and won't have to do it. See, I know the scripture. You know, I'd have my backpack, because you're going to spend 3.5 years in these rock fortresses. 3.5. That's better than being out there in a trip with the rest of the stuff going, because you're going to be supernaturally protected there. Because there's a verse, any army that goes out to get them, the earth will open up her mouth and swallow them. It'll just split and they'll all go down in it. And then they'll say, I don't think we're going to go there. And if they try to shoot a rocket in there or those kind of things, it'll be like the Israel Iron Dome, where they intercept these rockets shot out of Gaza. I saw them doing the deal in there, and women at a computer, blah, 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 and here comes people, boom, they take it out of the air. It's called the Iron Dome. So they'll be protected in these places, and I assume they'll be fed and watered just like the Jews in the wilderness. Okay, it's boring. No, it isn't. You're in the will of God. You're going to survive to the second advent and go into the millennium. So just take it easy for 3.5 years in these places, these sanctuaries. Whoever is in the field must not turn his back to get his cloak. You're out working in your field? Out. You tell your whole family, wherever you are, I hope you do what the will of God. Now, if you're a dummy and you don't, and they grab you, they'll kill you. Okay, you're going to still go to heaven. But hey, why don't we do God's will? Well, woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. That is a burden. But pray that your flight will be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. That's when they shut everything down in Israel. You can't get your car filled up with gas. You can't go to the grocery store. Not on Saturday. It's just the way it is. The mall is just dead. Until 6 o'clock our time, evening, p.m., and then that whole place lights up like crazy because they have that time. We were in a hotel. They even had some goofy thing about the elevator. You can't say, I'm going to go from floor 1 to 5. You got to stop at each floor because that's work, pushing a button. You know, it's like what people do. God says, you don't work on the Sabbath. It's your day off. Okay. They like to take it to an extreme. It's not good enough. You got to do some kind of work. You got to breathe. Okay, you have a pre-made meal. You got to get it out. Your kid falls and hurts himself. You got to help him. You can't say, sorry, I can't help you. And then they had, you only could walk so far. So, as Jesus set the record, that's what we call legalism here at Maranatha. Legalism. Don't do that. It's a sin or it's wrong. That where it isn't, that's imposing that is legalism. And Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Okay? I didn't mean it to be a miserable day. I just said, you don't go and do your usual routine. Now this goes to the middle of the trib. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. You think the first 3.5 was bad? The second 3.5. That is, see, the whole thing's a trib, but the great trib is from the midpoint to the end of the Armageddon battle. Unless those days had been shortened. Now, I have a problem with that. Well, I don't have a problem. Well, is that why God only made it that many days, 1,200 plus days for each half? 1,260. I forgot it. 1,260 and 1,260. Did he only make it 1,260 and he shortened it and he could have made it longer? No. I think this is what's going to happen. This is a speculation. I'm not supposed to do that, but I'm doing it. I think the movement of the sun will be affected to shorten the days that much. That's what I think. He's going to mess with He's going to do all kinds of stuff with the star, sun, moon, and stars during the tribulation. People are going to look up and see it. They're going to see the sun turn as dark and black at some point as sackcloth. That's no light. And the moon, it's a red moon, blood red. It's in your Bible. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. Everybody would have died. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. So, we're back to these people in their hideout. But there's others going on too. There's people out there in the world in general. These are just for Jews, Christian, believing Jews in Jerusalem that hear the announcement of the setting up of the AI in the temple. Let's go. Maybe they'll have a launch point. Maybe they'll get on certain helicopters. I don't know. Because any way you look at it, it's quite a trek to walk all the way down to Edom. And there's just this window of opportunity which will be clarified for them. Well, so if anyone says to you, they're going to try to get them out of there. They're going to try to lure them out. Behold, here's the Christ. Here he is. Come on out and see him. Or hopefully they got the Bible, don't they? And they just laugh. Yeah, right. There he is. Do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders. They'll have demon influence. If you have demon on your back or a demon associated with you, you can do all kinds of crazy stuff. Supernatural. And say, because I can do that, that means my message is okay. No, it does not follow. It does not follow. They'll arise. They'll do great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect believers who let their emotions run amok and will not stick with what they see in the Bible. How hard is this? When you see Jesus Christ, you're not going to see him out here hiding in some place or we got him out here. Behold, I've told you in advance. So if they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. Or he is in the inner rooms, do not believe him. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. You're going to see him come out of the sky. Bam! It's like that. Wherever the corpse is, that's Armageddon. And this whole battlefield will just be a mass of dead people. And then what God's going to do? He's got his garbage men ready. You say, well, it'd take a heck of a lot of them to clean that up, wouldn't it? That's not my problem. Wherever the corpse is, the vultures will gather. That's the bird that eats dead stuff. They're birds, they won't eat dead stuff. They'll eat flesh, but they'll kill their own and eat it, but they don't do road kills. So he is going to bless the reproduction of these kind of birds and have them in the Middle East. God's servants, the birds. Let's clean up. That's why you have these different type of animals around. They're to clean up the dead stuff. I call them God's garbage men. So they're not out there, okay? Sanitation department. It is one of just two restorations. Another verse, Isaiah 11:11. Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time. And I underlined it. The second time. On page 2 at the bottom, with his hand, the remnant of his people. Now, to get all the Jews in the trib that are believers back in the land, there will still be Jews out in the nations that are believers that didn't get back. So at the second advent, he's going to send angels out and transport the surviving humans of the human race before the judgment of the nations. Matthew, next chapter, 25. So there will be people that will hunker down in holes in the ground and wherever they survive. Out here, people have ways of surviving, and an angel will come in and give them free transport through the air back. That's in Revelation 25. And on Christ's right will be the believers among them of Gentiles, and on his left, the unbelievers. As a shepherd separates the goats from the sheep, he separates the goats from the sheep. The goats are the dummies that remained unbelievers. The sheep are on his right. They have two opposite destinies. The speech he gives is in there. The goats will be baptized in fire and they will be reduced to ashes, like someone is cremated. And to the sheep he'll say, "Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." He'll also have a separate judgment separating the goats from the sheep with Israel separate from the Gentiles at that second advent. Because these are the folks that are going to go in and start up. They're the seed group that starts up the millennial civilization. And what they didn't do after the flood, they all congregated in Iraq instead of spread out and start up these new nations. With your own genetic differences, they wouldn't do it. They're going to build a kingdom in Iraq. They can all talk the same language, one language. So that party got broken up by erasing their language and enabling them to speak a completely different language. And they could only communicate with those that had the same language, just like today. You sit around and hear someone talk another language, you don't have a clue what they're saying. I wonder if we're going to have one language in the millennium. We're going to reverse it back. Why not? Okay, gang, I will see you next Sunday. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.